are back in studio, the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon. And I just want to have a quick disclaimer with everything still going on with the NFL free agency. I know offseason workouts are going to change a little bit and week by week things could change. We decided to do a podcast because there's still news. We are being cautious with how we do this when we come into the studio to do it. Tyler and I are a distance away right now, but at the moment there's still NFL news. So we thought we'd go ahead and get a podcast out to you guys.
Yeah, we're good. What, two yards away?
We're pretty far away from each other.
My eyes are bad. I can't see you.
No, I know. And Tyler, it's kind of crazy because I've actually asked a lot of people just around the league and you in general off the air what you think about the NFL kind of still going on with the season. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the NFL is doing a great job of kind of getting our minds off the coronavirus, albeit for a little while. So with free agency going on, I mean, obviously Tom Brady was in the news. You have a lot of other players that have been in the news. And the NFL, it's been the number one sports story right now. And I think that's a really good thing because people are obviously worried and concerned about this whole pandemic that is going on, not only in this country, but worldwide. So props to the NFL for, you know, not delaying the new league year. I know it was a controversial decision, but for them to say, hey, you know what, we're still going to have our new league year begin on Wednesday. And, you know, despite everything that's going on, we're going to make some changes, obviously, with players coming in and physicals and team facilities. But they're still in the news, and that is a good thing for not only the NFL, but for everybody to just have that relief. And, you know, you don't have to watch all the news channels and hear about, you know, people being diagnosed with this virus, and you can watch the other sports shows and hear about players going to XYZ. And fortunately for Cincinnati fans, you have a free agency to talk about this off season. So that is good for the NFL and Cincinnati and all the 32 teams in the league.
Yeah, we're going to actually get to that right now with the Bengals news. And it's funny because you actually texted me before the DJ Reader news and you were like, hey, I mean, this reaction is crazy. And then all of a sudden the signing started to pour in. And I think for this team, they're showing to be aggressive. And I said it before on this podcast and just in general out there on social media, the Bengals are changing things behind the scenes. We don't know the discussions that are happening with Zach Taylor, Duke Tobin, and the staff. Zach Taylor did tell us over and over and over again last year during press conferences, I meet with them every week. We are talking. It's open communication. I don't know if Zach Taylor is having more of a pull. I don't know if having more of an offseason with his coaching staff and just showing, hey, 2-14 is not going to work. Mike Brown is not looking at your social media, but he is looking at Paul Brown Stadium and those empty seats. And I think that's a difference maker. Joe Burrow is huge. The excitement is there. He's not here yet. There's time to be active in free agency. But you had the chance when you're at the combine to hear from Duke Tobin. And did you feel like times were kind of changing with the club?
Yeah, Duke Tobin and other Bengals officials told me that this offseason was going to be different for the team. They were going to be active in free agency, and he and the team kept their word. It was funny. I was talking to somebody around the NFL yesterday, and they pretty much told me the Bengals are having an out-of-character offseason, and they were very surprised with all the moves that the Bengals are making. They basically signed three starters yesterday in DJ, Trey, and Xavier. And when I was driving here today, they got another cornerback, a slot corner, and McKenzie Alexander. So the Bengals, they are making moves, and that is what they need to do, because when you finish the season 2-14, you obviously have to be extremely active in the offseason to be able to upgrade your team. And to their credit, they are doing so.
And I think what's really interesting, and you know it with the NFL, there's myths out there when it comes to free agency. I think a lot of people are like, oh, you got to be big spenders. You got to be aggressive. Yeah, you don't get trophies for winning free agency. And you can look at past teams. We've talked about that before. It's not really about that with this team. They're being aggressive. And yeah, some may say they overpaid for Trey. We'll wait and see how that works out in his first year, at least with the Cincinnati Bengals out there in the secondary. But they're spending money for guys in their prime. And I think that's the difference maker when you look at past free agents. I know last year was your first year on the beat, but they would get some of the older guys. Maybe day three is when they really get into it and get active. You look at guys like Preston Brown. And it's crazy to think some of their cuts so far and releases have been guys they signed last free agency. And they proved, hey, that didn't work out. And they're not giving it another shot. And I think that's important to prove and say to people, we know we were wrong about them. Now we're going to release them. We'll eat some money. And we're going to try something new and we're going to be more aggressive. And I think that's okay to do. I mean, these guys are in their prime and still performing.
Yeah, they paid Trey Waynes like a starting cornerback, and he is going to start next year. It's going to be interesting to see who he starts over. But William Jackson, obviously, he's entering the last year of his deal. Dre has 2 years remaining on his contract. I know a lot of fans are thinking he's going to be out of there. I'm hearing otherwise. I know that's a surprise to some, but I'm hearing the Bengals are going to hold on to Dre Kirkpatrick. So it's going to be a crowded cornerback room in Cincinnati next year. And that's a good thing.
Competition's
good.
A great thing.
It's good to have an assortment of cornerbacks, especially in today's NFL when teams are passing 40, 50 times a game. So it's a good problem to have for Zach Taylor and the Bengals coaching staff.
It's crazy to think, and I actually saw it on Twitter, so I'll give credit to PFF. They said Mackenzie Alexander, Trey Waynes, and William Jackson III, not bad to have out there in your secondary. And then just look at guys who started to perform better in the second half of the season. When you look at the defensive line, and then you add DJ Reader to it, also Jesse Bates out there, it looked different towards the end of the last season, and they got better in 72 hours.
Yeah, they basically are signing Mackenzie Alexander to take place of a Denard spot in the slot. Alexander played, I believe, almost 500 snaps in the slot last year in Minnesota. So he is a serviceable slot cornerback. And yeah, the Bengals defense should be a lot better next year with the acquisition of DJ Reader. He's arguably the best defensive tackle that Geno Atkins has played with. He's a one technique defensive tackle, which means he's going to line up inside the center and the guard. So with that, the first level of defense, and then you have the back end of the defense that they have addressing. Now we just need a linebacker. They definitely need a linebacker.
Well, we're going to get to defense and more with the linebacker situation in just a moment, but I'm going to hit on the guys who have signed in the last 72 hours, and you look at the offensive line. First things first, Tyler, you called him Xavier. It is Xavier.
I called him Xavier.
You called him Egg Xavier. No, but it is Xavier in Cincinnati. Make sure you get that right when you say his name. And when he gets here, we will talk to him about that, how he likes to be pronounced, how like he likes his name to be pronounced. But it is Xavier.
I mean, Xavier, just like pecan,
you
pecan.
You will get hammered in Cincinnati if you continue that. No. And when you look at the offensive line, look, I think they got a pretty good deal on him. You move on from John Miller. John Miller wasn't awful last year. But I think it was smart to move on from him when you look at this offensive line, knowing you have to get better. You want to improve. You got this rookie quarterback back there, Trey Hopkins, who has played well at center, actually the only consistent player when you look at the offensive line. Jonah Williams, we don't know what we're going to get from him. You move him on the left side. There's still some holes with their offensive line. But when you look at the draft, and the draft is still going on as planned, and it's crazy to think on Monday, it is actually a month away. April 23rd won't take place with the fans and all the hoopla in Las Vegas, but it's still going to happen. It'll look a little different. Joe Burrow could be a Bengal in about a month. They're working on the offensive line right now. If you were to look at the draft on day two, are you going offensive line or linebacker?
Well, let me touch on your John Miller point first. I was honestly surprised when the Bengals decided to release him because, in my opinion, he was the second best offensive lineman on the team. Last year, definitely the second most consistent outside of Trey Hopkins. So when they decide to terminate his contract, I kind of raise an eyebrow a little bit. But to your second point, do the Bengals address the offensive line in the second round? I'm going to have to say no. You definitely have to get a linebacker.
No, I don't think a linebacker.
You definitely have to get a linebacker. And the Bengals like this year's draft class of linebackers. I've talked to several Bengals coaches, and they are impressed by this year's class at the linebacker position. So if you don't get a linebacker at number 33, they're probably going to get one in the third round, but they're going to draft a linebacker early on.
And kind of going back to the linebacker situation, I asked somebody last night, and you heard that they were in the talks with a few of the linebackers when it comes to just making more offseason free agency moves, and they just couldn't get it done. And the DJ Reader announcement came out just moments after all of that. Is it good, do you think, for a fan base just to hear that, hey, they were aggressive enough, or they couldn't reach the guaranteed money, or we don't know the details behind the scenes? Is that, you know, how do you think fan bases take that?
I think fan bases love when their teams are aggressive in free agency.
Well,
free agency is like another season.
But just hearing your name in talks with different players, but they didn't pull the trigger, they couldn't get that deal done. Do you think, like, I always kind of wonder, do you want to hear that your name was popped up for DeAndre Hopkins, for example? Last night, there was an article late last night that the Bengals were in discussions to get DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know what would have happened. You know, do they get rid of AJ Green if that would have happened? We don't know. Now we'll never know. But I wonder, as a fan base, what they think when they hear, oh, the Bengals were interested in that guy, that everybody's like, oh, he's available, this guy's available. You know, they have their own.
I don't think you want the team that you cheer for to rest on their laurels during the offseason. You want them to be aggressive, even if they lose out on free agents. Teams are obviously going to lose out on particular free agents, but you want to know that your certain team is at least trying, and the Bengals are definitely trying this offseason. It's interesting, though, who are they going to trade if they in discussions with DeAndre Hopkins?
I want to know that one so badly. And it's never going to happen again. And maybe fans don't want to know, but I would love, love, love to hear what they were offering.
Yeah,
because look at that steal, Arizona.
Yeah, the names that were being thrown around in those discussions, I would love to be a fly on the wall to know that. I don't know who. I'm not going to speculate who was in those discussions, whether it was a starting caliber player, which it probably was, or draft picks. It's probably a combination.
Not in the first pick, guys.
Oh, yeah.
No, that wasn't happening.
It was a combination of both, most likely.
I at some point, I hope that comes back and comes out, because I just want to know. I know it doesn't matter now, but man, the things that happen behind the scenes, and that's why I try to tell people, even just a couple days ago, I'm like, look, there's discussions happening behind the scenes that we'll never know about. We don't know what the Bengals were in on. Not all the time. It may come out later, like you saw last night with DeAndre Hopkins, but not all the time. We know how aggressive this team is, and it's starting to show, because they are pulling the trigger over $100 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane to think about where this team normally is. I mean, they sit right in the middle. Some don't think they spend any money. They spend some money, but they're not aggressive. They're not at the top. Just what they've done in 48 hours is showing this team is like, look, 2-14, it's not happening anymore.
Three starters in the span of 24 hours, one at defensive tackle, another at corner, and you got a guard. So the Bengals are doing their jobs this free agency. They are dissatisfied with the way the season went last year, 2-14, worst record in all of football. They told me countless times they were frustrated how the season went down. They don't want it to happen again. It was an embarrassment. And they're hopeful that they can try to turn things around this coming year. Obviously, when free agents, they don't result to wins, but they are getting a collection of talent during this free agent period. And then when the draft comes, they got a hit in the draft. The first pick, Joe Burrow, second round. We'll see if it's a linebacker or offensive lineman. But you got a hit on the players you select. You can't have many busts. In this draft, with a 2-14 team, you don't have the luxury to miss on picks.
And I keep saying, I think they need guys who can come in and be productive right away. And we saw that in the linebacker room last year with Jermaine Pratt later in the season. I mean, he still has some growing pains to do, but I think he's starting to make a difference in the linebacker room. He's going to need to step up and be a leader because as of this recording on Thursday, they haven't signed Nick Vigil. I think it's a similar situation to Darquez Denard last year, is letting him test the market, let him come back and get him for a semi, you know, cheap team friendly deal. I don't think they're going to overpay for Nick Vigil. I'm going to say that right now, and it could come back and bite me. But I think you bring him back.
Well, he's still floating out there, and that is telling, to say the least. So I believe the Bengals want to go young at that linebacker position. Like you said, you got Jermaine Pratt. The Bengals believe his arrow is pointing up. He started to emerge later on in the season as he continued to get more reps. So beside him, I can see why people want a veteran beside him. And shameless plug, I have linebacker free agents who the Bengals could target, the linebackers left in free agency. But if they don't go the veteran route, the Bengals coaching staff, they really like these crop of rookie linebackers coming out in this year's draft.
You know, it's always scary doing a free agency podcast in the middle of the day on a Thursday, just a day after the league year started, because moves could happen as we're recording. And as we're recording again this afternoon on Thursday, Andy Dalton doesn't have a team right now. He's technically with the Cincinnati Bengals, but they're more than likely going to release him. And a lot of people, when you heard more of the Cam Newton news, Phillip Rivers is gone and Tom Brady's going to Tampa. And there was some room for Andy, but then everything started to change when Nick Foles went to the Chicago Bears. I think that move had more to do with just not knowing the unknown with the offseason, and Nick Foles is familiar with Chicago and Chicago's coaching staff. So I think that helps a little bit with maybe no offseason workouts and kind of learning the offense right away and being good on that front. So I think that was a difference maker of Nick Foles, and who knows what happened in that deal or those discussions with the Cincinnati Bengals. There was a link there, but obviously that didn't happen. The Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals, they still have a relationship. It reminds me a little bit of the Buffalo Bills and their relationship, because you look at guys like Chad Johnson, Corey Dillon, Rex Burkhead, Marquise Flowers, and I'm probably missing a few right now. They've gone on to play for the New England Patriots. Corey Dillon, man, I'm still happy for that guy. When he went to New England, he got a Super Bowl ring. But sometimes you have your second career there. I know a lot of people, and I'm not trying to make this a Tom Brady podcast. Tom Brady is going to go to Tampa. I don't know if Tom Brady is still the same Tom Brady, especially without Bill Belichick. I don't think Bill Belichick gets enough credit, and it might seem silly because a lot of people are like, yeah, he does. He's Bill Belichick. He's a GOAT. He's one of the greatest of all time. But I think it's going to be interesting, the next quarterback to start for the New England Patriots. Look, New England has holes. We saw that last season. They don't have a lot of weapons. Mohamed Sanu was injured toward the last part of the season when they signed him. But I think there's just – it's interesting to me. And I want this to play out. I really do. I want Andy Dalton to go to New England. But if you're New England – you're just going to wait for him to be released, because there's not a whole lot. It's music, and there's not a whole lot of openings.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Bengals lost leverage when they did not trade Andy Dalton at the trade deadline. And I believe the Bears were the best fit for him. But like you said, and like we all know, they decided to go in a different direction with Nick Foles. As far as the Patriots, I kind of like Cam Newton in New England.
Really?
I like Cam Newton in New England, or even Jacoby Brissett. He's been a Patriot before. He knows that system. The Patriots can probably get him for cheap. But this year's the quarterback market is basically a case of supply doesn't meet the demand. You still have Cam Newton floating around out there via trade. Andy Dalton is going to be tough to see where he winds up, because there's not a lot left out there right now. All the quarterbacks have landed for the most part. You got Phillip Rivers and Indy. You said the Tom Brady podcast has been Tom Brady Sports Center, and Tom Brady and all the networks is still, yeah. I mean, at least they're not talking about the coronavirus.
They're happy.
Right?
There's something going on.
There's something to talk about. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were my second team for Andy Dalton. And so
really,
yeah, Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't see him going to New England. I could be wrong. I owe you now because I said Tom Brady was going to go to the Los Angeles Chargers. So I've been wrong on quarterbacks.
No, actually, that's funny because I could see a connection there because Bruce Arians was in Arizona and Carson Palmer had, you know, his kind of second career there after he went to his, had a cup of coffee with Oakland Raiders, but then he went to Arizona and if he didn't get hurt, who knows what would have happened with Arizona's team. But Bruce Arians, too, I kind of see that. I wouldn't have put Tampa off. I think the Tom Brady decision is really interesting that he's going to go to Tampa Bay, but he's going to get paid and maybe bring in some new weapons. I don't even want to know if Antonio Brown's going to go with him. I think that I don't.
He already is living in Florida.
That is a mess. But kind of going back to the Jacoby situation when we're thinking about Andy Dalton and the New England Patriots, I would say Jacoby. Out of all of them. Mm-hmm. I think Andy Dalton makes sense just to let him get released and bring him in. Why not have him as a vet? But Jacoby is a guy who has been on the roster before Bill Belichick already knows and familiar with. And just, again, with the unknowns of this offseason, it helps when you are trying to get in the flow of things with a new team. So I could see Jacoby.
This is for sure. The Patriots have a plan. Bill Belichick is always a step ahead of the competition.
He's playing chess and we're playing checkers. Yeah, so it's the other way around.
They do have a plan at the quarterback position.
They do have a plan. And is it going to be Andy Dalton? As of Thursday, as we're recording this at 1 p.m., which is really dangerous, again, to do during free agency. But we are here for the people. We wanted to get this out.
I have my phones on my lap.
I have two phones right now.
Yeah, we have four phones on the table.
We have four phones ready for any breaking news, but it's just a little crazy. Again, giving the Bengals credit where it's due. A lot of fans they're not believing it. They're not going to believe in the hype, and of course, until they start winning games. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think this is the year is when you really judge Zach Taylor as a head coach. Last year, I think he gets a pass a little bit, and some might hate me for that, but I think just coming off the Super Bowl, you're putting your staff together, you're learning this, you know, who you have. He's a quarterback coach. You bring in Joe Burrow. You're being aggressive in the offseason with free agency. You have a draft. You get a pick. Here's the thing. We talk about them having two first-round draft picks next year with Jonah Williams and Joe Burrow. You almost feel like they have three when you're picking 33.
I mean, optimistic
to
Lindsay.
To be completely honest, I'm going to get hammered. Look, I'm sorry. I've been stuck inside way too long. I'm just trying to come up with something right now. No, but for real, the way that they're trying to get better, they're getting better with a defense that started to play better last season. You add to your offensive line, Joe Mixon started, you know, he started to get it together second half of the season. And again, that's nothing to blame on Joe Mixon last year. Nothing. And he would never throw his offensive line under the bus, but they struggled. I'm not breaking any news right there.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to actually add on to Joe Mixon because I know you've been kind of around that story, too. Do you feel like any of this with the unknowns of the offseason workouts and kind of similar to where A.J. Green is? Look, A.J. Green might not miss anything with the way everything's going right now. They franchise tagged him, which, again, follow local sports reporters. They've had this since October. This isn't breaking news. And that just became official on Monday because it had to. But when you look at Joe Mixon, do you think that that is going to happen before 2020?
Is a contract going to happen? I know he and his agent both want one. Is it going to happen?
Are talks happening right now?
Talks have happened. Preliminary discussions. They have not gone far. I will say that. Joe Mixon wants to be paid like one of the better running backs in the NFL, and he's still on his rookie contract. So I know he's itching for a new contract, and he wants it this offseason. And the Bengals, they do like the running back that Joe Mixon is. They believe that he is, if not the best player on offense, the second best behind A.J. Green. And when you have a rookie quarterback, his best friend is a running back in that running game. You need a running game to ease the pressure off a young quarterback so he doesn't have that big of a burden. And what better running back to have than Joe Mixon to hand off to, a 1,000-yard rusher. I know he hasn't been to the Pro Bowl yet, but a Pro Bowl caliber guy back there who you can hand the ball off to in the backfield. You can throw passes to him in the flat, and he can make plays for you. He's a difference maker. So the Bengals, in my opinion, they should sign him to a long-term deal.
We'll wait and see as everything kind of unravels. And I just want to go back to the coronavirus really fast. Like I said, the NFL is still going on as planned. They're making some adjustments to the NFL draft. Everybody saw that in the last couple of days. The Bengals are aggressive so far in 2020. A lot to be determined as the coming weeks happen. The draft again, April 23rd. So we'll have plenty to talk about in the coming weeks. Our goal, Tyler and my's goal, of course, we're going to be safe about it. We're planning on getting you guys podcast out. If they're weekly, bi-weekly, a couple times, depends on, of course, how everything's going out there in the real world. But my thing, Tyler, and I've said it before, and I say to people all the time, try not to be selfish with this NFL news that's coming out. It is something to talk about, and it is a distraction. The reason I ever got in sports was to not look at the bad things out there on TV. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but when there's bad news on TV, my whole entire life, it was distraction sports. All this is happening in the world. There's games going on. Let's watch this game. You know what? Gonna log off social media a little bit. That's always been my thing. I've always liked it as a distraction. It is scary out there right now. And our goal with these podcasts and at least getting them out for you, I am pumped for some off-season stuff. I can't wait to get started on some projects and all that's to be determined on how things work. But we are working behind the scenes to bring you some new things for 2020. I'm pumped to get this podcast out, add new guests, just new elements to things. And we are working on that while we're waiting for everything to just be official and confirm. But our goal is to kind of distract you. And I hope you continue to listen. Like I said, I want to get this better and going in 2020 and just adding new things to it. And with all the unknowns and it just being scary and cautious. And again, stay home.
Yeah, wise words from Lindsay Patterson. But I do have to get something off my chest coronavirus. I really have to say this. We all need to take this serious and practice social distancing. I mean, Lindsay and I right now,
we're far
apart. You know, I was watching TV just yesterday and people were on beaches in Miami and all over Florida. I saw people on beaches in Georgia. I know some were in California, and I'm not just trying to single those states and cities out, but people's lives are at risk in a pandemic by you're putting people's lives at risk. And, you know, in order to flatten the curve of this coronavirus, we all need to take this seriously and, you know, practice social distancing, be at home and only go out if it's essential, like if you need to go to the grocery store or if you have a emergency. But, you know, we have to take this pandemic seriously.
This isn't just about you. It's about other people. And I know kind of preaching, you see it out there on social media. It is scary right now when you see what's happening in Italy and you almost have that what could happen in the United States. But people, like Tyler said, social distancing, stay home. You don't need to be out and about. But what we're going to do is try to bring you these podcasts. We're going to be safe about it every single week. You know, keep watching what's happening, knowing what we should put out, knowing what we can. Our goal is to add a distraction during this time of an unknown. And we're not, you know, sure what the next couple of weeks and even days hold. But we're here to bring you some podcasts, any breaking news, and hope you follow along. Tyler, you have plenty of stuff up on Cincinnati.com. What's up there?
Oh, yeah. Every single free agent signing that the Bengals have made, you can read along. I have why they signed the player. I got all the sources. They confirmed to me that they are indeed coming. So it's not fake news or anything. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com for all the free agent signings. And when and if, I'll say when, Andy Dalton finds a new home, that will certainly be on Cincinnati.com.
And next, we'll have a little BBP extra with the newest Bengal. He's fun on social media, and he's going to be adding to the defense alongside Geno Atkins. It's DJ Reader, former Houston Texans. Hope you take a listen.
So now on the BBP podcast, we have DJ Reader, who is signing a deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a big splash move for the franchise. DJ, thanks for joining us here today. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
So are you quarantining in your house right now or what?
I am. Yeah, trying to get some workouts in still. But yeah, right now in the house, kind of weird, you know. I've never been in my house as long. It's really strange. It's kind of throwing me off. I'm in my house like all day, and it's like never happens. Like, Like, but there's nothing to go do. Like, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's strange for all of us, to say the least. Is it tough to stay in shape during this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, it's, you got to really push yourself to do certain things, and but that's, you know, that's good. And you got to have, like, equipment, like, at your house, like, at a safe place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A safe, like, junction for everybody to go do stuff, and then you don't want to have a large group. So there's a lot of places where you have stuff.
Yeah. Do you have the necessary equipment at your house?
Yeah, I'm good. Good where I'm at. Not necessarily at my house, but my best friend.
Okay.
At his house.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So what factored into your decision to sign with the Bengals?
You know, I think just the way the team, you know, last year the wins didn't show it, but the direction they were going in with players, you know, there's a good mix of older guys and a lot of young guys who are really good. You know, who play good ball, and you know, you're missing one of your top receivers last year, and things are going on. You got a new coach. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, I've been through that. Not necessarily with receivers, but, you know, missing your quarterback or a player who's a key piece. And, you know, it's not fun. But, you know, I think that they do have key pieces in place, and you know, I don't know much about didn't know much about the city, but you know, I knew a little bit about having Coach D-line Coach Nick Easton there, and you know, that guy, I knew him from Clemson, and then you know, in Tennessee when I was coming out, I was just like, you know, it's kind of like a sign when people kind of keep putting things in your life and people in your life, and they just keep coming around and keep coming around. And the way my agent talked to me about it, you know, that they were excited, and so it was just. It was fun to be wanted, and then with an organization that you can see things that are promising. Like, they got good pieces, good running back, good receivers, good D-line, good mix on the D-line. You know, just on another good corner, had a good corner, good safety, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's a team with some pieces, and, you know, so I was excited.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Coach Easton. Did he kind of recruit you, or did any other did a player recruit you to sign on with the Bengals?
No, not really. Just kind of, you know, just being familiar of each other. It wasn't like a recruitment. I didn't really talk to them or anything, so it was just kind of like a being familiar with what they got going on. Just being like, all right, well, you know, like this seems right. You know, just for me, from my standpoint, from where I'm at, looking at all my options and where I was at, and what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be as a person, and what I wanted to do as a player. And, you know, this seemed like the best fit for me.
Mm-hmm. If you can tell us, which other teams try to sign you?
Denver, Detroit, Buffalo, you know, and then, you know, the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good couple teams in the mix.
Yeah. Now, you had your best NFL season last year in Houston, career highs in tackles and sacks. What changed for you?
Holy crap. Sorry. I'm sorry. I just got to use that they just released Todd Gurley. I thought there would definitely be a trade going. But no, what'd you say?
Well, that's good. That's real time on the podcast. I literally just got that too. That is a surprising move. So
it just kind of blew my mind. It was just released, but go ahead.
So that obviously surprised you. Maybe he'll come to Cincinnati. No, I'm just joking. That's not going to happen.
That definitely surprised me. Just whatever. That's not my decision.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Well, you know, like as I was saying, you had a career year last year. What changed for you on the football field?
I think, you know, just being more aware of the game, you know, growing, getting older, studying more guys, studying more film, just growing more into a player. And then after the offseason, seriously, I really went in there and attacked it and tried to get after it. And you know, I think I got to test all those things. And then the guys around me, those guys, they pushed me. You know, I was in with a good group. I think I'm going from a good group to another very good group. And those guys pushed me. I think, you know, we can go to, I'm going to this place, we're going to do the same. So I mean, I think that's what goes into making any player good or better or great. Like, it's the guys around them and the work that they put in all together, you know, because it's 11 people out there. It's not just one person out there.
How do you think you're going to fit in Lou Anarumo's defense?
I think I'll fit good. You know, I think I'll be able to go in there and do what I do. That's what I'm excited about. So I think maybe different terminology, but not too many things different than where I came from. Mm-hmm. And especially what I do, you know. I'm excited to go out there and go get after it.
Yeah. You've played with some great defensive linemen like J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, oh, yeah, who is also a free agent at this moment. How does it feel to how is it going to feel to line up alongside of Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap?
It's going to be, you know, special, man. Guys who I've watched over the years growing up in the college, I've watched, and now, you know, the league, I've also watched, especially Geno, you know, a guy who, when you think about interior pass rushing and interior passing, he automatically comes to mind, especially in today's days and age. He's been doing it for a long time and doing it at a high rate and a special rate for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then Carlos on the outside, you know, I can't really do any of the moves that he does. So I didn't watch his tape as much, but I knew about him as a pass rusher, knew the work that he put in. It's going to be fun. You know, you want to go in there and win for those guys. Those guys deserve it. They've been there. They're putting the work in. They've respected the game, so you want to see them reap the benefits of what the respect of the game does. Hopefully I can come in there and bring a little juice and help with that.
Mm-hmm. A big emphasis for the Bengals coaching staff was kind of to ease the burden off of Geno Atkins. Do you feel like you are going to do that, lining up right beside him?
I tell you, they won't be able to double-team both of us. you know, I know that's a fact. So whoever gets the 1-on-1, I know they're going to take advantage of it. And, you know, so I'm planning on coming in, you know, just getting with him and us working. I know he's got some great things he can help me with, and I can't wait to just soak up the knowledge from him, Carlos.
Yeah. Well, the fan base and I know the coaching staff is certainly excited to have you, and I feel like you and Geno Atkins will certainly be a formidable force in Cincinnati. Do you know anything about the city yet?
I don't know much about the city yet. I know you're at a baseball team, which I'm super excited about, the Reds. I know there's a hockey team.
Minor league, yeah.
Across the river, that's about it.
Well, I'm sure you'll have plenty of time to get to know Cincinnati when you officially come on board and move to Ohio. But I appreciate you coming on today, and maybe you can watch more TV and have an exciting, surprising news happen.
Oh, yeah, man. That's probably like the most excitement of my days. Did you see it? Like, talking to you, and then that happened. Other than that, I'm feeling chills. I've got stuff to watch.
Well, I appreciate the fact that I could add a little bit of excitement to your day, but thanks for coming on the podcast.